Harlequin Desire and Harper Audio present Ruthless Pride by Naima Simone, performed by Maury. To Gary, 143. Chapter 1. If your success was earned through hard work and honesty, never apologize for it. Joshua Lowell silently repeated the Frank Sonnenberg quote that had been a favorite of his father's. He pinched the bridge of his nose, a low, dark growl rumbling in the back of his throat. Too bad Vernon Lowell hadn't believed in the practice what you preach school of thought. According to that quote, his father had a ton of apologizing to do. Wherever he was, hell, or a bungalow in some country without extradition policies. Dropping his head, he refocused his attention to the spreadsheets displaying the previous month's profit and loss numbers for Black Crescent Hedge Fund's investment in stock of a telecommunication company. Compared with this time last year, the investment was doing very well. Their clients would earn more than a modest return, and Black Crescent would receive a substantial management and performance fee. Unlike his father, Joshua had stuck to the more traditional investments, such as stocks, bonds, commodities, and real estate. Vernon had been a daredevil in business, which initially had made him one of the richest men in the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. That fearless and adventurous spirit had also increased the millions his very select clients had invested with him into high-yielding portfolios, and grew his boutique business into one of the most successful in the area. It had also cost those select clients millions. It had devastated them. So no, while some might call Joshua's business decisions rigid and even too conservative, he refused to do anything different. Too many people's livelihoods and futures depended on him making those safe choices. He refused to be another Lowell who betrayed their trust, who destroyed them. He'd been the last man standing when Vernon Lowell disappeared, for both the company and his family. Because he'd left with not only his clients' money, but the majority of his family's as well. So even though the last man sometimes wanted to yell and rage at the unfairness of it all, at the grief and shame that often pounded within him like a second heartbeat, at the death of his own dreams, one thing the last man couldn't do was slip up or falter. He couldn't afford to, literally. Josh, did you hear what I said? Of course you didn't. Haley Shaw, his executive assistant, snorted, answering her own question before he could respond. Oh, you're just ignoring me, which you should know by now doesn't work. Whatever you're doing now can be put aside for just a few moments. This is important, she insisted, an edge invading her tone. Haley, not now, he said, without glancing up from his spreadsheet. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt. A brisk, husky, but very feminine voice that carried zero hint of apology interjected. But I'm afraid it's going to have to be now. Two small hands with slender, unadorned fingers flattened on either side of his computer monitor. Surprised, all he could do for several long seconds was stare at those delicate hands. At the short, unpolished nails, the thin map of light blue veins under sun-kissed skin. Why did he have the odd but strong urge to place his mouth right on the joint where hand met wrist and sip? Hell, they were fucking hands. The mental but mocking admonishment didn't stop him from traveling up the lengths of her arms, clad in white sleeves, to slim shoulders, partially hidden by light brown and gold-streaked hair, past a graceful neck and slightly pointed but stubborn chin, with its slight indent, to a face that, God damn. Deliberately, he eased back in his office chair, careful to control all the muscles in his face. He forced himself to maintain the cold, aloof expression that he'd adopted and mastered 15 years ago as a defense. But inside, lust slammed into him like a hurricane, intent on leveling every structure in its path.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?